Hi, I am Wolf Van Halen.
I've been with the Dario my whole life, with Van Halen on bass. There's just nothing better. And I say it right, the Dario.
Huh? Nobody f***ing says it right.
Love Rig Rundowns. We love Rig Rundowns. Love, please like and subscribe so we can keep doing these Rig Rundowns.
It would mean a lot.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. We are hanging out at Marathon Music Works, and I'm joined again by Jade of AFI. Jade, how you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. There's a lot that has changed, and so let's dive right into it. I know that for a long time when we did the last rundown, you were playing diamonds. You've been playing those forever. But no amps. So no amps. What gives?
I mean, I played tube amps for the better part of 30 years. So.
Yeah.
I just wanted to expand, try something new, and a lot of what I've been doing on the recordings have been more getting into sound design and trying to take my tones elsewhere. And tube amps are great, they sound amazing, but it's basically you're kind of constrained to whatever that tube amp sounds like.
Yeah.
Even if it sounds amazing, that's the sound. And I wanted to really be able to tap into a ton of different sounds.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I've been using Helixes for a while. I've been using the Native plug-in for a long time, but I thought, you know, I'm gonna do my last rig was a Bob Bradshaw rig that I had made in 2002.
Wow.
And it was falling apart, like it was held together by like chicken wire and duct tape, so it was just time for a new rig regardless of where I went.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna build this rig myself, because the Bradshaw was a great rig, but I didn't build it. I didn't really know
even with the trap doors.
Yeah. And so if I build it, I know how it goes together, and if something goes wrong,
yeah,
I know how to fix it. So that was one of my impetuses. It's just fun. It's a lot of work to build, especially this one, because it's a very complex rig. But yeah, so that was the genesis of this new.
Now, a lot of times when people make that transition or that jump from amps, speak cabs, because these are dummies, they say they do or can miss, or there's an adjustment curve of missing the lounge, live sound. You know, they say the air pushing behind their legs. Was that an adjustment for you?
Yeah, there is this kind of indefinable, well, maybe not indefinable, but there's this low, mid, beefy thing that's very difficult to recreate with models. And I spent a lot of time experimenting. IRs are important, of course, when you're talking about modeling, getting the right IR and getting the right cab, or getting the right... the right amp emulation. It can sound fizzy, it could be weird, it could be thin, but I think I've, after a lot of experimentation and work, figured out something that sounds good. It'll always be, I feel like you always be missing a little bit of that air, but what you get in return is some things that you can't get with the tube amp.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a trade-off.
Now, obviously, the last three records, including the one that just came out, you're producer credits on that, and I know that you've been hands-on with the band sound since you joined it. So what do you enjoy about not only that role in the band, but also now kind of taking it to a whole new level with the Helix and your sound personally?
Yeah, for years and for many records, or at least the last several records, getting guitar tones that aren't just a big rhythm tone, double tracked, and then maybe a little something different up the middle. Getting something that's different and experimenting and having fun with it has been really important to me. And so in the recordings, I've been going way afield, like using stuff that isn't meant for guitar to try to get some tones that maybe haven't ever been done before, because that particular sequence of plugins or whatever, pedals, hasn't been used. So this was my first attempt to actually bring that into the real world, because, you know, I would do all these kind of cool tones, and then I would come out and play and it'd just be dirty, clean, nothing like the record. And so I was like, it's kind of frustrating. So now I'm able to kind of execute what you hear on the record live.
What are people, you know, the sound that AFI is, I've heard, saw you quote yourself or talk about the band as a shark. You're always moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were you trying to move forward towards in this next record? I know that with Bodies, there was a sound shift, and I feel like, personally, I feel like it's just a continuation of that, chasing that sound and elaborating on it more. But what were you and Davey and the rest of the guys trying to hone in on?
This one of the things, one of the mantras for this record was trying not to sound like the previous records.
Mm-hmm.
If we started working on a song and it was sounding like Bodies or anything else, I'd be like, let's get away from that.
Yeah.
We're sounding like that. We've done that. Let's get away from it. So we'll always sound like us because we're us.
Yeah.
But really, it was trying to break new ground and do some things. And even though some of these sounds harken back to, you know, early 80s post-punk British kind of stuff,
yeah,
it was, for us, new ground. And so that was a big part of it. Just like, let's go left. Go way out there.
Yeah, there's a definable sound throughout the record, and obviously there's nuances and dynamics within that, but what were some of the biggest changes in terms of your tone and recreated in here when you're playing the new songs live? What are those incorporations, whether it's patches or I know you're big in like Native, so anything that you can share with the folks about that?
Well, some of the stuff that we were really into making this record that we're inspired by, a lot of those tones were sort of murky and,
yeah,
you know, it was from the early 80s. The gear was that, and it was really drenched in reverb, and it wasn't necessarily trying to be high fidelity. So there is some of that in there intentionally.
Yeah.
Where it sounds like a lo-fi thing, which is what I was going for. So that's different from maybe some previous AFI things where it was like big, like in your face, dry, thick rhythm tones. It's just, I had done that for so many years. I just was like, why just keep spinning my wheels with that? So some of these songs on this new record, it'll just be a riff in the chorus.
Uh-huh.
It's not these big, playing every string, big bar chord things. It's just a riff playing two strings, which is so different, but really fun.
Yeah. Now, you know, you wear, again, I alluded to it with the different hats with the band, producer, mm-hmm, guitar. Internally, do you ever have a struggle with that? Like, you know, the guitar side of your brain versus the production, seeing the whole side of the coin?
No. It's been many years now where, because of just being a songwriter and you know, I might write something on the bass, I might write something on the guitar, I might write something on the keys or the piano, or I'll start with a drum groove. Like, so the guitar has just kind of become another part of the arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I rarely think of things in terms of like, a song has to start when I pick up the guitar and play a chord sequence or something. Now it's just like part of the palette.
Mm. Well, I know we should get into gear now, and we'll have Ryan bring up guitars, but tell me about this Les Paul here. You know, I've got a combination. You've been playing studios for since I can remember as a fan.
Yeah, this is a standard, and like, I don't play many standards because they tend to be really heavy.
Yeah.
And running around on stage and a heavy guitar doesn't mix very well. But this standard, for whatever reason, I just went into Guitar Center and got this one off the wall like 15 years ago because I think we were leaving on tour. I'm like, I need a guitar. I just need to go get one right now.
Yeah.
And it's so light and sounds good that I really lucked out on this one, because like, just pulling it off the wall at Guitar Center, that's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Know? But yeah, this one has been kind of my go-to live guitar for, you know, a long time now. So yeah, it sounds, it's a little bright. It's not really like super warm, but it's got enough of all the frequencies to just be a good workman guitar.
Did you put the Seymour in there, or was that in there when you grabbed it off the
no,
wall?
No, this got put in there, I don't even remember when. It had a stock Gibson pickup in there, but yeah, it got swapped out at some point. Probably just trying. That's probably why it's bright. That's been in there for so long, I don't even notice it anymore. If you had asked me if there was a stock pickup in this, even though I play this every single night, I would be like, yeah, there's a stock pickup in there.
Gotcha. What strings do you guys, what strings do you use?
Are these Ernie Balls?
Ernie Ball.
Yeah. I go back and forth. Like, usually I play 10s.
Okay.
As far as gauge goes, but these are Ernie Balls. Sometimes I'll play D'Addario, but Ernie Ball, you know, I think I've been playing those for a while now.
And I see that this is a D-sharp guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, and what other tunes are you guys playing?
We do a drop C-sharp. We do E standard. I guess that's it. Yeah. Oh, and we do a D, like a tune down a full step.
Okay.
For some stuff. So yeah. Really, when I change guitars, it's not because like I want to show off my new guitar. It's for a different tuning. Okay,
yeah. Well, speaking of different guitar, what guitar should Ryan bring up next?
Let's see that's the Silver Burst. This is a new one. I played this in the video for Holy Visions, one of our new songs.
Yeah, it's interesting dynamic of like, I don't want to say you're trying to get there, but like, yeah, you have some of those lo-fi sounds, but you're using hi-fi technology to get there.
Yeah, like those sounds have always, that's what shit sounded like when I grew up. Like,
yeah.
Listening to punk music, nothing sounded hi-fi, you know? Even though I love hi-fi music, that wasn't all I listened to, but those, that's just very evocative when you hear that drenched in reverb kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's very of the time. So this is obviously a Schecter. It's got a Sustainiac pickup in it. This is the prototype they made for me.
Oh, cool.
I've always loved Silverburst guitars. I've never had one. This is my first one I've ever had. And so I asked them to make me a Silverburst. And it's obviously kind of like a Les Paul style. Sounds really good. But like I play this, you know, like Holy Visions. That tone is that kind of like a phasey, flangey kind of, like I use. I use these tones a lot because they just, you know, everyone had like flange and phase on their tones back then.
Yeah.
And it's cool. So like, you know, I do that a lot. But then there's, you know, moving over to tones, our song Behind the Clock, like, that
love
has
that
a crazy like. Like that tone was like kind of an accident. That was the first song we wrote for this new record, and I just threw up a dirty guitar, and it had this extremely long reverb on it.
Uh-huh.
And then I just put a distortion plugin after the reverb.
Yeah.
And it created this really ridiculous tone that you probably would never want to use. But for some reason, I just started playing these big open chords and it just worked.
Yeah.
And so that's what
that
you hear on the record.
Great.
Thank you.
It's one of my favorites of the year, not just on that album, but just like in general.
Oh, thanks.
When it came out, I was like, whoa, okay. And it's totally like the record is fantastic and it's still AFI, but it's a new AFI.
It is.
But like you guys do, you're not Slayer or the Misfits. It's, you guys are always trying to do something different.
Yeah. You know, it's for sometimes to our detriment, you know, because like we've had records that have been, you know, platinum records.
Yeah.
Number one record in the country, number one song in the country. And if we wanted to chase money or success, we could have just kept doing that because we found the winning formula. But every time the next record, we moved away from it. And it's just like, it's not artistically fulfilling to repeat yourself, even if you can sell a lot of records doing it.
And even if you're a fan of AFI for 3 decades, I think most loyal fans would appreciate that, the attempt, rather than like, here comes another fastball right down the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The same thing that's expected.
We do have a lot of great fans that are understanding and follow us on this journey that we're on.
Yeah.
Of course, there's people that are like, I fell in love with AFI and Art of Drowning, so why don't you sound like that? That's the stuff I think is good. Why aren't you doing that? And I understand that because I feel the same way about bands I love. Like, I want the bands that I grew up with to be still sounding like they did in the 80s, but of course the band doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I understand that kind of fan mentality. So I try not to be too judgmental over fans that love the old sound. I appreciate that's fine. I mean, I love those songs too.
Now, before we move into a different guitar and different sounds, could you tell us maybe what's going on with the Holy Visions and maybe Behind the Clock, like settings in terms of like maybe an amp or alluded to the reverb and distortion already, but.
So basically the way I have, one thing I wanted when I built this rig was I do all my composing in Ableton. And so I have a lot of tones that I build in there that you just can't recreate any way else. So I needed to find a way to bring that into my rig. So When I'm playing just kind of my general, this is my dirty tone, just my everyday dirty tone, everyday clean tone. But when I go to, like, say these tones on the new record, whether it be like this on like Marguerite, Holy Visions, Void Word, which is a really crazy tone. Which is like a really 80s kind of... And these are exactly like I played them on that record. And that's because when I go to... Obviously, you can see that when I go to these buttons over here, it routes it from the gizmo to Ableton. So I'm able to recreate exactly what I did on the record.
That's got to be satisfying.
It is. It's fun because it's like I don't have to compromise anymore.
Yeah.
I get to do how I designed it, and you get to hear what it sounds like on that record instead of just being like I'm playing Void Word on here. Like, that just doesn't sound the same. It's not the same vibe. It doesn't sound like the early 80s.
Was there any apprehension bringing not only just the digital stuff with the Line 6 and the Helix, but bringing a computer into the mix?
No, I've been kind of dabbling with that for years now.
Okay.
I've had a laptop to do certain tones. Like, there's this lead tone, this one right here, that I really like. And so I've been using this through Ableton for years now.
Uh-huh.
But I've never had, like, a ton of stuff like I do now. But having this Mastermind... And having the gizmo and just being able to... The programming was insane. That was by far the most difficult part. To get this to control Helix and Ableton and pedals, like actual physical pedals, it was a lot of work and a lot of experimentation. But now it's... I mean, we're halfway through this tour and it's been working like a dream, knocking wood.
Well, what guitar should we have Ryan fetch up here this next?
Let's look at that... Let's look at the acoustic.
Yeah, we had talked briefly before cameras were rolling that you're playing acoustic on this run now. For the first time or for a first time in a long time?
I've played a little bit here and there, but yeah, this is the first time that I've really... Also, I can do this. Which is the piano. This goes to like a MIDI modeler that goes to a synth. So you can play strings, you can play any kind of synth lead.
Nice.
And it's pretty low latency, so yeah. I haven't really found a usage for that, but I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. As we push guitars, I should have asked, but are you using the Sustainiac at all on that? On that Schecter? The neck thing?
No, but just because... Yeah, I'm just always in the moment, and I don't think to do it, but I love Sustainia. I've always loved Sustainia pickups, and, you know, they have so many usages just for, like, creating feedback or creating cool kind of, like, pad sounds or just, like, sustained, like, legato interesting things. So, yeah, I need to incorporate that more. So this is, like, we have three songs on the new record that are acoustic, essentially, and so I needed to play acoustic on stage, and so... Bird of Prey, you know, like, so I have a separate pedal board over there. This is the one thing that doesn't go through this.
Okay.
It goes through its own pedal board. It's got a delay pedal and a reverb pedal, and so it's kind of its own little world.
So those pedals back there that I kind of glimpsed at, those are to this or the other, because there's like a reverb, a carbon copy, flanger.
Yeah, those that are in my actual rig are for my electric, but there's a separate pedal board over here, which you can't see, but that has just a handful of pedals and the modeler for this thing, because this has got like a built-in pickup on it. But this sounds really cool. It's LR Bags, and they sent this down to me to try out, and I've been playing it almost every night.
Yeah, it's kind of reverse engineered, because LR Bags has been in the pickups and pedals for a long time for acoustic instruments, and it makes sense that Lloyd, the guy behind the company, was come up with an acoustic guitar that actually sounds like an acoustic guitar when it's plugged in.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I needed, rather than trying to bring out an acoustic and then try to figure out some kind of pickup situation, or am I plugging in and a pickup, or am I, you know, like,
yeah.
And often just like doesn't sound good. It feeds back, it sounds woolly, or it sounds thin or weird, but this has been great.
Well, right on. Is it maybe get one more guitar and kind of go through the rest of your patches here?
Let's check out that Bodies guitar. Let's check out that Bodies guitar. It's another one that I play a lot. So this is another one that Schechter just made for me, which has got our artwork from our Bodies record on it.
You did an interview with our magazine on the Bodies record, and you mentioned that you were using Ultra Cure, the 12-string.
Yeah.
And is that kind of how the relationship with Schechter started, or were you already kind of talking to them before then?
The guy down there that I talked to, Adam, he was actually a drum rep for our drummer, Adam.
Okay.
Who put me in contact with him. I moved over to Schechter. He's a really cool dude. And like, yeah, he sent me the Robert Smith signature model Ultra Cure. There's a 12-string, electric 12-string, and his 6-string. And I played this 6-string on that song Dulceria on our last record.
Okay.
And it's a really great sounding guitar, really cool. And so, yeah, they just made me this with, you know, with this logo on here, which is really cool. And so I play this every night. It's my E standard guitar. So yeah. That tuning may not be amazing, but this is a fun guitar. It's light. Sounds good. Looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as we go through kind of more of the sounds, what are you, like when you're creating them, are you creating like an amp on top, you know, like how are you going about kind of the dirty sounds? We'll start there. Like within the Helix.
Oh, within the Helix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a stereo guitar rig.
Okay.
Which is the first time I've ever done that. Because usually, you know, with tube amps, it's just a mono, mm-hmm. a mono sound. You're getting it. But with this, I created two different paths with two different IRs, two different models, and really spent a lot of time to make two sounds that complement each other, like I would in the studio, you know, and because you don't want the exact same things on both sides, because it kind of collapses and it just doesn't sound as rich and harmonic. So that's what I'm doing live for the first time, wide panned stereo sound. And so the Helix allowed me to do that, which has been really cool. So yeah, that's my dirty sound. That this is two amps, two IRs, as if I had, you know, two different setups. And this clean is, you know, I've always been using a model of the Jazz Chorus amp.
Yeah.
Like they used to bring out, I have actual Jazz Chorus amps. They used to bring them out, but they're just not very roadworthy. Mm-hmm. They tend to break a lot. And then I started using just an old pod, janky one. But I got such a great version of that sound. I'm just like, I only used it for
now.
just for that. And so this is Helix's sort of version of the Jazz Chorus. But I also have like a chorus on there. I have like a Keeley compressor on there as well, and a delay, so it's a little bit. Tuning's a little sour, but. So kind of a continuation of my clean sound I've had for a long time.
Yeah, so the compressor was something I wanted to ask about, because your clean tone isn't just, oh, I'm going to roll off. It's always been something that's been lively, because sometimes with a clean tone, it can be anemic or feel sterile. But I always felt that your clean tone, when it goes in between those dynamics, you know, loud and quiet, distorted and not, it was always lively still, even though it wasn't, you know, crunchy or anything. And I was always curious about how you were able to, you know, achieve that.
This compressor pedal is a new thing. I've never had a compressor pedal on my live tone. Mm. And in fact, as the tour has gone on, it's the two knob Keeley.
Uh-huh.
I've been turning them down and down and down. So now it's like barely even, I could probably turn it off and it wouldn't sound that much different. It just gives a little bit of cohesion to it.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of leveling to it. But yeah, so this is very similar to what I've always had of my clean sound.
Okay. And then just going back to that dirty sound, what do you know what amps you're using, and then maybe the IRs for people at home, because they'll want to know that.
I'm using on one side, I'm using a Mesa Boogie IR.
Okay.
And you know, like they, Helix uses funny names for their models. I don't even know what they're trying to be.
Well, I think sometimes they have to get around copyrights. But yeah,
which is why they do it.
Yeah.
But like, there's one called like a litigator. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to be. So I'm not using that one. But the ones I'm using, I couldn't tell you what they're supposed to be modeled after. I just put them up, see if they sound good, see if they're complimentary. Then once you start in the IR world, there's so many IRs.
Yeah.
And they make such a huge difference. It's just such a rabbit hole you could go down for weeks, months, years, like to figure out a good tone. And luckily, I think I've happened on one, but the other side, so one side has an IR with the Mesa Boogie, and I also have an IR on my clean tone, which is a Furman IR.
Okay.
And then the other side, Sestereo Right, is actually an amp cab. It's not an IR. So, you know, you can either do an IR or you can do an amp and cab.
Mm-hmm.
So, and once again, whatever they're modeling, it's like something red or something, but I have no idea what. Maybe it's an orange? I don't know.
Yeah. I see an EVH and I saw the pedal in the rack. Is that getting used for like solo tones?
Yeah, I'll just click it on as an overdrive. I was wanting to do a pedal. I've always wanted to do a pedal. I've never done one. And I wanted to do one that sounded like this. I've always loved this tone, and it's like a distortion, overdrive, delay. And so I was talking to pedal companies being like, and it's hard because when you start mixing, if that's like a complicated pedal.
Yeah.
You start doing distortion and delay in one pedal. And so they sent me a bunch of pedals, and they sent me this 5150 pedal. And I was just like, okay, this is going to be probably corny. But then I really liked it. It's a really good sounding pedal. It's cool. I like it. So I'll kick it on just for like. It's like, whoa.
Hold on.
Yeah. Got to be careful. That one's too powerful.
Now, again, going with the flange and chorus, I see it on the patches here. Are those the pedals themselves? And are you using some like line 6 patches for that?
Both.
For modulation and stuff.
So there's a distortion, reverb, delay, and chorus. These are all blocks in Helix.
Okay.
And then there's actual pedals, carbon copy, the EVH, and I've got the somewhere in here. I've got an RV2, a Dimension C. I've got, and the Keeley, of course. So I've got an actual pedal tray that has just pedals if I want to use. Like I really, because a lot of, like The Cure and all these bands in the 80s, Susan the Banshees, they used a lot of 80s, early 80s Boss pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and bought all early 80s. I had to get a lot of them in Japan because for some reason there's a lot of vintage Boss pedals in Japan. So like that RV2 is from like 85 or something. So I just wanted those, like that's what they used. And I wanted to hear what that sounded like. So I incorporate that a little bit into my rig.
Well, Jade, I know we got to talk to Hunter before you guys do that sound check and get on with the rest of the day, but I truly appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And, man, it's always a pleasure and it's an honor because I've been listening to your band for a long time, but it's always invigorating to hear an artist like yourself that's not just resting on what you guys have done, you know, in 2003 with Sing for the Sorrow and then December Underground, that you're always chasing and moving forward like a shark. So appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, everybody. I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario's been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
All right, we are joined by Hunter the Bassist. Hunter, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Real good. I feel like I'm looking in the mirror, but it's my the illusion or the projection on my side is looking pretty good. Well, tell me about the basses. We talked about 7 or 8 years ago, and you're kind of a P guy, but you had a jazz, I think, at the time.
Yeah, I've just kind of moved over to P's exclusively for the live setup.
Any reason?
It's just, I think, across all of our different songs and different eras and different sounds, it ends up being the most consistent and most closest overall to what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd just rather have one thing to present live, as opposed to trying to juggle, two different tones. And I don't know. It's just, but in the studio, I still will use whatever sounds best on the track. So, so there are, sometimes the jazz fits in there as well. So, yeah.
Was there any oddballs or anything that comes out to mind off the new record that wasn't a P bass?
There are, of the 10 songs, only one song was a jazz bass.
Okay.
And that's Behind the Clock. I used a Fender, like a 1975 reissue jazz bass with like the black nylon strings, like the Rotosound makes.
Oh, cool.
I had read that the bass player, I forget his name, but played for Joe Jackson, used those, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. Let me try that. And it ended up just sounding better than the other basses that I had with me on Behind the Clock. So that's the one.
Now, I assume when you play that song live, you're not using those strings.
I'm just using regular. But, it's everything has to, the studio, I have like endless, things to play with. And live, I try to keep it as simple as I can.
Now, speaking to that with a new record, obviously you guys have always been morphing and changing your sound. But the last two records had, been a significant step in a different direction. Has that changed anything in your rig? Obviously, we're seeing the Ampegs we saw last time. They got the P's, but anything pedal-wise that's changed up for the new record?
Yes, quite a bit, actually. I decided to just go all in on pedals on this new album. And I started the process sitting on the floor with 40 pedals. I pulled 40 pedals.
It's a good start.
And just, I would plug. I set a limit. 3 was the max I would do on any song. So. Okay. But I'm like trying every possible combination of things, and it's like endless permutations.
Yeah.
And so I ended up using a lot of like choruses and sometimes two chorus pedals together.
Oh.
And or a chorus and a flange, and a lot of like kind of sort of semi gritty tones. Like nothing. There's a couple songs where there's a little more of a fuzz. But overall, I thought I would just drive my tone just a little bit. But also, I recorded all my parts myself in my own studio. Mm-hmm. So every, my signal split between just a direct signal, a clean signal going to like an Ampeg B15, and then a third signal going through a guitar amp of choice. And that was the signal that I put all the effects on.
Okay.
So most of the effects are only applied to what ended up being more of the like the top end part of the blend.
Okay. What do you enjoy about that experience recording your parts kind of not away from the band, because I'm sure you're always in communication, but being isolated with yourself in your own studio.
It's okay. So I used to have the reputation in the band of being the guy who could record everything, all his parts, as quicker than anyone.
Yeah.
So we would have 6 months to record an album or whatever, and I would do everything that I need to do in 2 days.
Efficient.
So, yeah. So this is like, on one hand, having this freedom is like, okay, I'm going to take a month, and I'm just going to really dive in. But then I also sometimes run into the problem of, like, too many choices, too many options. When we did the last album, Bodies, I kind of went overboard and got lost in, like, it's not just multiple different bass amp options, but also multiple different microphones to use on those amps, and then different preamps to run those mics through, and that's just one amp. I want to do a blend of two amps, and so it's just like there were too many choices, that I gave myself too many toys to play with. And so on this album, I'm like, okay, I'm only going to use this amp, and the, you know, I sort of set a filter.
Yeah.
To make it simpler, but still a lot of choices, and you know, but whatever sounds best is always wins out.
It can be one of those situations where you run into option paralysis.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Should we move on to a different bass? Because I'm eager to see some more friends.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me just say though, this is my like number one touring bass. 2010? I've had this since 2012,
okay,
I believe, and it's been on every tour since then. And I think maybe one or two of the records as
and
well.
What do you dig about it that it's come the champion, the number one of choice for live?
It just sounds like a P bass. You know, it feels good. It's you know, it's just like a great sounding P bass.
Enough said.
Yeah.
I see another P off in the shadows there.
Oh, yeah. So let's switch this out here. All right. Now this is brand new.
I've seen this on social media.
This was custom made for me by Fender, and I'd kind of wanted something that reflected the artwork and the aesthetic of the new album, which, as you know, is there's a lot of pink, but it's not just a flat pink. There's sort of you know, gradients of different pinks and darker and lighter, and so I thought it'd be really cool to do this is a Burgundy Mist metallic over black, which you see a lot of, you know, older guitars that were done over like a Sunburst or something, but I thought, you know, let's do it over black, and then of course wear it away so that you can actually see some of the black in there, and then all the block inlays were done custom, which is cool, and it's based around a vintage, like the new vintage series P bass, and so it just sounds great, and I try to only play it on the new songs,
okay,
but it ends up sounding better than the other bass. You know, now, oh, also I got to mention, back of the neck sanded down, just a nice smooth feel.
I don't want to speak on your behalf, but I'm going to do it. Is that I feel like you're deserving of a signature bass, and if you were to get that honor from Fender, Michael Schulz, come on, what would you ask for them? Would it be kind of just a stock P bass with some colors, or would there be some changes, whether it be pickup styling or voicings? What would you want?
I mean, I think my favorite basses are the ones that either are more recent custom shop basses or actual vintage basses have a vintage sound, and with the vintage pickups and so it would definitely have that vibe to it. They made a bass for me that is sort of roughly modeled after like a 1964 P bass, and it sounds amazing, and I use it on a lot of recordings that I do. And then also I have an actual 1962 P bass that I use in a lot of recordings, which also sounds amazing. So it'd probably be somewhere in that region. I think the sound would be probably the most important thing for me. But yeah, I don't know what I would do in terms of the visual aesthetic. I think, you know,
that's
love
a good
this.
Start, yeah.
I love this, and this is so cool. But it is sort of tied into the new record, and so, you know, I don't know. However, I mean, I'm not going to stop playing this when we're done with this record, so.
Well, with that kind of preface, can we hear it? Let's hear this thing.
Yeah. So on the new record, as I said, I use a lot of effects, and I've done my best to approximate them with what I bring out on tour. Some combinations of pedals. So all the new songs I've done here. This is a tone that I use for like three songs here. Which is a nice, like, just a chorus and a little bit of a grit. I think here's this is one of my favorite sounds here. It's which is a grit and a flange, but with the rate turned up enough so it's more of like a sort of in the chorus territory.
And what way are you running? Are you running the drive or the grit into the modulation, or the modulation before the grit?
That's a good question. I think that has to do with how the loops are
created.
Are back there. But I do think that the... let's take a look.
Let's do it.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so on this patch in particular, I'm running the battalion into the Neo Mistress.
Okay.
So it's, you know, grit and then sparkle, I guess, if you will. Whereas on this patch here, I'm running the bass clone into the bass soul food.
Now we gotta ask Hunter, did you lose the bet to Mike Matthews? Because from what I can tell, you have all electroharmonics pedals.
So,
which is not a bad thing.
I'll tell you why. First off, they sound great.
Yeah.
They're built like tanks.
You can find them anywhere.
They're readily available. I started with the... I needed some fuzz, and so I went with the bass Big Muff. And then I also needed some... Let's check this out. And then I also needed a sort of synthy type tone with a lower octave. And it was super important for songs like... I guess they're older now, but songs like I Hope You Suffer. And so I needed this tone. And in the same song, this tone. So I went with these two pedal choices here.
Yeah, because I feel like the first time we talked, you had the big bass Big Muff,
yeah,
the synth, and the graphic fuzz.
Yeah. The graphic fuzz, I think, is also cool because it's, I'm not using it on this tour, but it's like, you know, when you have a regular bass tone, you want this, right? It's like for a break in a song where suddenly the low end is just gone, and you're like, what? And then, of course, when you kick it back in, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I figured once I had a few electroharmonics pedals, I'm like, you know what, let me get the electroharmonics bass chorus. Why not, right? And then, of course, the nanopog, which is great. I use that on a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
And it's I'll use it with a blend where it's not just an octave below. It's a little bit of the octave up. And I'll play the part an octave higher, so I get a little bit of depth from it.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Let's see. So I use it on... it's part of the chain on this song here, which I start playing here.
It's a full sound.
Yeah. that, of course, is also running through the Neo Mistress,
okay,
as well. Kind of the secret ingredient on the new album.
Huh.
And then I got the RJM, and I'm able to program multiple pedals on a patch and set it to like a momentary switch, I was able to do really cool stuff like... So, yeah. And then, of course, on this tour, even though in the studio, like I was saying, I brought, you know, I used, you know, probably a dozen pedals. I wanted to keep everything electroharmonics just because, I don't know.
Well, at this stage, you've gone this far.
Exactly. So, yeah. And, you know, I do not have an endorsement.
I think you should.
I think I should. I mean, I got 11 right now, and I would love to get more. Even the Lizard King, which is brand new.
Yeah.
Which is a real...
Yeah, how are you using that? It's gnarly.
There's one song where Jade is playing acoustic guitar, and I'm countering that with the nastiest fuzz sound. Like. It's a good juxtaposition of tones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Hunter, I really appreciate it. I know you guys got to get on to sound check and the rest of your day, but I appreciate you talking to us and catching us up on all your changes.
Yeah, for sure.
And looks like your EHX pedals have been like gremlinized. We spilled some water on the first three, and they've morphed into almost a dozen.
And like I said, there's room here for more. So,
Mike, Kevin Jolly, come on, help this guy out. Again, Hunter, Jade, who's already gone from us, thank you guys so much, and I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Check out the album.